Very well indeed. An election which rather slipped past most of the world outside its borders is the Canadian one. The right-wing George Bushite Conservatives got back in power with an enhanced majority. And the Liberals, the former Pierre Trudeau party, and the Bloc Québécois, the Scottish National Party equivalent in Quebec, were decimated. Now, as you may know, Stephen Harper's government banned me from Canada, but I took them to court and won. And I'm now chasing them for damages. So I have a particular interest in the country. Joining me from Toronto is James Clark, a very clever young man in the know. James, welcome. We've been discussing the likelihood of Scottish independence on The Real Deal today. I guess one of the conclusions we can draw from the Canadian election is that the separatist movement in Quebec is dead.
Well, it remains to be seen. There were definitely mixed results coming out of the province of Quebec. It is true that the Bloc Québécois, which is the largest party in Quebec politics for the last 20 years, was completely decimated, going from 47 seats down to 4. But what's interesting is that that vote moved from the Bloc Québécois to the New Democratic Party, which is Canada's Labour Party, mainly because it supported Quebec's right to self-determination inside Canada. And so many of the voters who would normally vote for the Bloc Québécois, who were sovereigntists or soft sovereigntists, decided to park their votes with the NDP because of its more progressive stance on Quebec's place inside Canadian Federation.
Now, the Labour Party, the NDP, as you liken it, did fantastically well. Let's talk about the reasons they did well. It wasn't just in Quebec, was it?
Well, it was right across the country. It's actually quite a staggering result. I should mention that the New Democratic Party, or the NDP, as it's known here, has historically been in third or fourth place for most of its history in the Canadian Parliament. And in the last 2 weeks or so of the election, there was what was called a surge of the NDP, what people called the Orange Crush. It's because the party colors are orange. And we saw them move from around 15% to 16% in the polls, where they've been for the last 3 or 4 years, all the way up to 30%, 34% in some cases, chasing the Conservatives. So there was a massive shift right across the country, and they went from 36 seats at the dissolution of Parliament to 103. And even more staggering, they came second in 122 seats right across the country, and in some cases only just a few votes behind the winner. So it was a dramatic shift in the landscape, the political landscape in Canada seems to be changed forever.
Now tell us about the foreign policy, because this is an international audience, James. The foreign policy of the NDP, now the official opposition in Canada.
Well, one of the most important positions that the NDP has taken is to oppose the war in Afghanistan, to demand that Canadian troops, NATO troops in fact, be withdrawn from Afghanistan and as quickly as possible. The NDP actually distinguishes itself as being the only social democratic party in the Western world, certainly within NATO, that supports an end to the war in Afghanistan. Now, that actually helped it distinguish itself from all the other parties in the election, and in particular the Liberals. You mentioned the Liberals, the party of Pierre Trudeau. They collapsed spectacularly, going from second place, the official opposition, to third place for the first time in their history. And the Liberals actually provided the political support for the Conservatives in the last two minority parliaments led by Conservatives to extend the mission in Afghanistan. So a lot of people in Canada who overwhelmingly opposed the war in Afghanistan decided that they would vote for the NDP because it opposed the mission in Afghanistan.
Now, of course, the Canadian government is, even by its own admission, Israel's closest friend in the world. Where do the NDP stand on the Palestinians?
Well, there are certainly lots of debates in the party. I think the position could probably be a lot better than it is, but it's certainly better than what it is for the other political parties. And I know that amongst the party base and the membership, there is huge sympathy for the Palestinians. And I can say that Canada's foreign policy, which you've talked about many times, is one of the factors, I think, that contributed to the shift towards the NDP. Canada, for the first time in its history, lost an election at the United Nations in an attempt to win a seat on the Security Council. And many people, many observers around the world and in Canada saw that because of our terrible foreign policy, and in particular, the kind of cheerleading position we've taken for Israel, from the war in Gaza to the war in Lebanon, and just a completely lopsided pro-Israeli position that has turned its back on the Palestinians.
Now, without having to worry about minority status, the Prime Minister, Harper, and his gang are now in full control of the Canadian Parliament. Will we see an even more biased foreign policy from them from now on? What changes do you think will occur?
Well, there's certainly a debate about what the Conservatives can do over the next 4 years with a slightly bigger majority. I should mention that they went from a minority to just over the number they needed to get a majority. It was only actually an increase in 2% of the popular vote that got them there. And they got that extra vote by moving to the center, by attracting Liberal Party voters who abandoned Michael Ignatieff in the hundreds of thousands. So I think in order for them to govern, they're going to have to cling to the center. And already there is a public battle that's opening up inside the Conservatives, which actually represent a merger of smaller Conservative parties. The more right-wing base inside the Conservatives are getting restless, and there's going to be a party convention in June, which is supposed to be a celebration of their victory, but already it looks like there's going to be a lot of infighting because the fusion of those two Conservative parties, those smaller groups, is not playing out as well, even though they've won the majority government.
And how's the media treating the whole thing? Are the Liberals being regarded as, are they being left for dead? Is now the polarity a left-wing party and a right-wing party, as is the case in most countries?
Yes, I think that's an accurate description. A lot of people see a polarization in Canadian politics now between two clear choices. The Liberals, which provided so much political support for the Conservatives in the last two parliaments, I think it's going to take them a lot longer to try to rebuild their party. And I think the NDP has a lot to look forward to in the next 4 years. But that remains to be seen. And it also depends largely on what kind of social movements will mobilize in the next 4 years to support the NDP in Parliament.
Well, James, thank you very much indeed. That's James Clark, who was too modest to say that he's the leader of the anti-war movement in Canada and has, not single-handedly, of course, with a great movement behind him, got to a situation where the vast majority of people in his country agree with him. That's all we've got time for, I'm afraid. As ever, I've been George Galloway. This has been The Real Deal, and you have been a marvellous audience.